This morning we're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago in chapter 12. A few weeks ago we paused Luke in order to get into the Easter series that we did over the last 3 weeks. We looked at the cross, and then we looked at the resurrection, and then last week we spent some time talking about the implications and the what after resurrection, the stuff that we should continue to do. And oftentimes we think of Easter as something that comes once a year. Once it's done, we put it in a box with our decorations and put it up. But Easter really is the foundation of all that we do as believers and all that we stand for. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, if the resurrection is not true, we are to be pitied most of all. And so we believe that the resurrection really happened, that Jesus really died, that he really rose again, and that because of that, that changes our life and the way that we should live, and it changes the fact that we live for ourselves, we live for God, and that we are to tell other people about that. So if you missed that sermon, you can go back and check that out last week. But I want to get back into Luke, and if you want to remember, or if you just kind of remind you of what's going on in chapters 4 through 9, 9 and a half, 10, Luke is answering the question of who is Jesus. That question is asked specifically who he is, and he answers that question in Jesus' actions and even in Jesus' words. And so Luke is showing us that Jesus was much more than just a holy man. He's much more than just a prophet. He's much more than just someone who was anointed by God, but he is the Son of God. He is God himself. And so Luke shows us that in those chapters. And then starting in the end of chapter 9 and going forward, Luke is going to spend most of his time focusing in on the question of, or on the topic of, discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? How should a disciple believe? How should a disciple live? What are the attitudes we should have? What are the belief systems that we should have? And so by Jesus, or on the lips of Jesus, and through the teachings of Jesus, and through the miracles that accompany the teachings of Jesus, Luke is teaching us how to be disciples. Once we've given our life to Christ, what does that mean we act like? What does that mean we live like? And so today we're going to look at the question or the issue of pursuing God in everything. Luke is setting that main theme or that idea up because oftentimes we don't pursue God with our resources. If we think about it, how often are we pursuing God with what he has given us? We may pursue him sometimes on Sundays, maybe a few times on Wednesdays if we come to church on Wednesday too. But are you pursuing God the rest of the week? Are you pursuing God with your conversations, with your lifestyle? And specifically today, he's going to deal with the issue of greed and your finances. How is that? How are you pursuing God in that? Now, not teaching on tithing today, even though I think Scripture teaches us that we should give percentage of our income to the church. But this is an overall concept of how is it that we are to use our money in everyday life, beyond just giving the tithe, beyond just saying, God, you've blessed me with so much, I want to give back to you. What are our attitudes toward money? And Jesus is going to deal with the question of and the issue of greed. So let's look in chapter 12. We'll start in verse 13 and we're going to read through 21. It says, someone from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Friend, he said to him, who appointed me judge or arbiter over you? He told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in abundance of his possessions. Then he told them a parable. A rich man was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops. I will do this, he said. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So I want to look at this question this morning, or this issue this morning, of greed and of how are we using what it is that we've got to be a blessing to others and being someone who is generous. Now, I want to start off by saying you are not evil if you make money. You are not evil if you make a lot of money. You are likewise not evil if you're poor. You are not better than someone because you have less money, and you're not better than someone because you have more money. In the grand scheme of things, money in and of itself is amoral, meaning that it is neither good nor bad. That the issue when morality comes into it is, how do you use it? How do you view it? So it's not a bad thing to be a rich person. We shouldn't look at other people and say, oh, they're rich, they're terrible. I know that is a theme in our country sometimes, and over the last few months, it's been a theme. Oh, these rich people are terrible. And likewise, if you have, with those of us who have, should not look down on those who don't have as much as we do and say, oh, those terrible, horrible people. So the question is, what do you do with what you've got? Jesus is going to deal with what we pursue with our resources. And so the first thing I want us to see this morning is that God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives. God is the one who lets us have or gives to us that which we have to begin with. And we question, why does this one have more than me? Why does this one have less than me? Why does this one who doesn't seem to love God and doesn't seem to pursue God and has these different beliefs, why are they, quote unquote, blessed and I am not? And we've mixed up and we've come to this conclusion that I am only blessed when I have plenty of money, not necessarily other things in life. And so we look at people who are rich and say, God, why did you let them have all this money and not me? And I know that's a question that we have. I know that's a question that we often ask. And the thing is, I don't have a good answer for you. I don't have a good answer why sometimes the rich who are evil just get richer. The same way I don't have an answer for you that those who are poor sometimes just get poorer. Sometimes decisions we make, sometimes it's bad decisions, investments we make. But God doesn't bless us just to say that we have a lot of money. So Jesus deals with this question of greed here. This man comes to Jesus, and Jesus has just talked about with the crowd an issue in the previous sections about the Pharisees and the issue of the leavenness of the Pharisees. He says, watch out for those Pharisees. And so while he's in the crowd, the guy calls out to Jesus, hey, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, to divide it with me. Tell him that he should give me something. And Jesus' response is, I'm not judge. Who appointed me to be your lawyer in this case? And it's not that Jesus doesn't have an opinion. It's not that Jesus is not the judge of all. But Jesus is really saying, or he's really dealing with the heart of the issue, is that this guy wants Jesus, who is a prominent rabbi, who's a public figure, who may have some sway, He wants him to be on his side. He wants Jesus to argue for him. He wants Jesus to take his side and say, your brother's a bad guy and he should give you part of the inheritance. Now, inheritance in the first century is different than inheritance in our time. In our time, parents often write out in a will who can get specific things. Oftentimes, if there's money or property, they may give certain people or certain children certain pieces of property, or they may give certain children different things in the house, such as furniture or their vehicle or jewelry. But the money, oftentimes, what's left is usually divided by however many children you have. So if you have two children, it'll go like 50-50. That's generally the way it's done. I know there are exceptions in our world, and you can make those exceptions in our world. But in the first century, generally what happened was if there was property, land, the oldest son got double what everybody else got. So if there were three children, instead of each getting a third, the oldest son would get a half, and the other two would get a quarter. Now, there was reasons for this. The main reason was to be able to keep the large chunk of the property together so that the family's land would stay together and that they could have the family name and the land stay in the family that way. But the oldest son would get double what everybody else got. And we don't know the specifications of this case. The guy, Jesus, doesn't say, okay, tell me what's going on. So it may be that the older brother has taken all the property. It may be that the older brother has not divided it up the way the younger brother wants. Maybe the younger brother wants to go 50-50, and the older brother says, no, I get double. That's just the way we do it. But apparently there's something about it that Jesus knows the heart of this guy, and it's not because he wants it to be even. He wants it because he's greedy. We've got to ask ourselves today, are we greedy? Are we a people who are greedy? It's still very easy. You say, well, I don't have enough to be greedy. I don't have enough money to be greedy. I don't have enough possessions to be greedy. Oh, yes, you can. You could still be greedy even though you don't have a lot compared to some others. Greed shows up in different ways. Greed shows up by us collecting a lot of stuff. But greed can also show up when we don't, or we refuse to allow our spouse or to allow ourselves to buy stuff because we just want to hoard the money to say we have more money. Greed can show up sometimes in saving because our saving is illogical. We're not saving just because we want to save. We want to save because we want to have more. It's all in the attitude. It's all in the heart. Is it one that begins with greed? Why do I give? Why do I not give? Is an issue of greed. So Jesus goes to the heart of the issue, and he tells this story. He tells the story of a man who has a really good year. We're going to assume he's a farmer. Jesus doesn't go out and specifically say he's a farmer, but he needs to store goods. And so what goods would you store in barns besides crops? And so he's not a bad guy. He's not an immoral guy. He doesn't get this by having in an immoral way. He doesn't steal this. He just has a really good year. The crops came in. There was good weather. It was fertile. The more of the grain grew than weeds, and so he's able to have a really good crop. And so what he does is he's like, I've got to store this. He doesn't have like we have. I know our culture, our society, we have rice dryers, right? Because a lot of our crops around here are rice. And you'll see rice dryers on people's property, but you also have like city rice dryers where you can go and sell your crop or have it dried and stored somewhere else till it's time to sell it. Now this man, he didn't have enough room at his house to have his crop. So what he says is, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to build bigger silos. I'm going to build more and bigger rice dryers. And he builds those. And then he says, now I've got so much, I can just sit back and do nothing. I've got so much that I can just eat, drink, and be merry. I can sit back and I can just party now and do whatever I want because I've got so much money for myself. And God says, you fool. This very night, you're going to die. The man who thought he had a wonderful future ahead, the man who thought life is going to be easy for the next X amount of months or the X amount of years, life is going to take on a new aspect where I can just party and shell out money and do whatever I want. God says, the ones who thought you had a great future, you have no future at all. So what is Jesus trying to teach us? Is he teaching us that building barns is wrong? No. Is he teaching us that having plenty is wrong? No. Is he teaching us that hoarding and finding ourselves as the one who did it all is wrong? Yes. In verses 17 through 19, five times the guy says, I, as if he owns it all. He speaks of my fruit. He speaks of my goods. He says, my barn. Everything is his, and he's forgotten who has blessed him with everything he has. He has no concept and no room for God in his life. That he is just a man who has done good for himself. His goal is to have an easy life, to withdraw, to party. He's going to eat, drink, be merry. He has no concern, no responsibility for others. Now, I'm not going to put a percentage on how much we should give. And I'm not talking to the church. I'm talking about in life. How much should we be givers? When we see someone in need, do we take care of that need? When we go out and have a meal with someone, do we pay for their meal? And I'm not saying you have to. Just what is God leading you to do? Are we generously minded that God has blessed us with so much that we want to bless others? That when we see someone who has a problem, we see a single mother whose tires on her vehicle are about gone and they're almost as bald as I am, what do? Do you send her to the tire place and say, tires are paid for, they're going to put them on your vehicle? Do you buy gift cards at Walmart or whatever grocery store you want and see someone and say, here, take this. God bless you. Generosity is something we've got to foster in ourselves because we get the attitude that God is the one who has given us everything. God is the one who provides. And when we have the attitude that it's all on me, I've done everything myself, which is very much an American concept, very much an American idea, that individualization, that I did it. It's all about me. And we push God out of the picture. God calls us a fool. Now, the fool is an Old Testament term that describes someone who acts without God, or someone who has no wisdom and acts in a self-destructive way. You look at the fool in the Proverbs when it describes the wise versus the fool, and Jesus says that that man has no wisdom. God has declared him a fool because he doesn't recognize that God is in everything he's done. He's become self-centered, and therefore he's become self-destructive. He uses his resources in a way that displeases God and just pleases himself. Parents, are you teaching your children to be generous? Are you generous yourself? Now, I'm not saying go into debt so that you can give to everybody and everything. Be wise with your money. But be generous with your attitude, with your words, with your grace. Be generous with what God has provided you with. And God has said, this man is a fool because he lacks generosity. He's a greedy guy who thinks he's done it all on his own. Instead, we need to pursue God with our wealth. That we pursue God with what we have. That includes our money. It's the second thing I want you to see today, is that we need to pursue God with our wealth. Jesus concludes his story here, that this is how it will be for those who pile up treasures for themselves. That those who think of themselves but are not rich toward God, that they will be people who have no future. They will be people who may have money but will not have the blessing of God. Richness toward God means that we are responding to life and the blessings in a way that God desires, not just the way we desire. That in a way that honors God and not necessarily in the way that honors us. God talks a lot about being a giver and being generous. He talks about giving in a manner that doesn't bring yourself glory. Giving in a manner that doesn't make people say, wow, look at how great he is. Giving in a manner that, he says, where the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. In other words, that it is a way in which that doesn't bring a lot of glory on yourself. And in America, we don't necessarily give that way. You think about how people give, and we often put a plaque on it, given in memory or in honor or by so-and-so. We give so that we can have our name put on a placard. Or maybe if you're really wealthy, you can have your name on the wing of a hospital or on the wing of a school or have some building named after yourself. That is antithetical to the way God teaches us to give. We are to give humbly. We are to give without show. We are to give without the goal of being praised. And when we give that way, we're giving in a way that honors God. Jesus concludes his parable here by condemning greed as an attitude that just piles up stuff simply for your own pleasure. Again, having stuff is not bad. Having a lot of money is not evil. What do you do with it? How do you treat it? Do you use it as a tool to bring God glory, or do you just pile it up so you can have more? How are you using your wealth? You may say, dude, wealth and me have nothing to do with each other. And I understand that. Not a whole lot of extra money during the month. I understand that. But compared to the world, you are in the top 5%. The poor in our country are rich compared to the world. So when you compare yourself not to your neighbor, but to the rest of the world who lives on $1 or $2 a day, we are really, really wealthy. Is generosity your habit? Are you a person who practices generosity? Or do you seek to pile up treasure for yourself? Are you a hoarder? There's a whole industry in America. It's called storage buildings, where we put stuff in it for months and years. We don't even know what's in it anymore, but we keep it. And we hoard it. And it's a symptom of us wanting to have more stuff. That our houses are so filled to the brim with things because we want to keep it, hoard it, pile it up. It's not something that God has given you to be generous with to others. In Matthew, Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching in public like he is here in Luke. And he says something that is very similar to what Luke is saying here. And he makes the statement, he says, don't collect for yourself treasures on earth where moth and dust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things you invest in are the things that are important to you. The things you use your money for are the things that are important to you. You want to know what's important to somebody? Open up their checkbook registry. Look where they debit. Those are the things that are important to them. You will make time and you will make money for the things that are important to you. And if the things that are important to you are not generosity and godliness, then it's probably greed. And you can pile up money, but when you're dead, it means nothing to you. You can pile up stuff, and when you're gone, it's just going to get dispersed. You can pile up stuff. If you're not someone who gives generously, your children and grandchildren are just going to use it up. You see it time and time and time again. The old man or the old woman who would never spend any money, their children get it and it's gone in a matter of months. So in closing, I want to give you these three phrases or these three ideas that we should live by. Number one, when you're blessed with much, give generously. When you're blessed with much, give generously. Even when you're not blessed with much, give generously. But we as a people are blessed with much, so give generously. The second thing is, when planning for the future, think terminally. In other words, don't think about what I'm going to do in the next few days or in the next few hours, but think about what's going to happen eternally. How is my money going to be used for eternity's sake? Invest in things that really matter long term. That means maybe you write certain things into your will that your money goes to. Maybe you give to endowments. Maybe you give to things that have eternal consequences, not just a trip to the woods or a trip to the mountains or a trip to Disney World for your children. Think terminally. Think long term. How are you using your money when you plan your future? And the last thing is this. Whether you have much or whether you have little, hold it loosely. Whether you have much or little, hold it loosely. In other words, be a giver. God is a giver. John 3:16, probably one of the first verses that everybody learns in their life is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." That God is a giver. God gives us everything we have, and he gave us his Son. And he gives us eternal life. How are you using your money? Are you a generous person? Are you a giver? Are you a hoarder and a keeper and greedy? That's between you and God, between you and your family. I don't know your situations. I don't know your bank accounts. I don't know about what's going on in your finances. It's not my business. I don't care. But I do care about your attitudes toward giving and toward greed. You can shape a generation. You can shape generations to come by the way you give or by the way you are greedy. Think about that as Chris plays. Are you generous toward God or are you a hoarder? Do you hold things loosely or do you hold them tightly? And I pray that we would be generous like you. That we would hold things loosely and that we would be givers. That we'd recognize that everything we have comes from you. That we recognize that we work with you for the blessings. Pray that we would treat money as a tool for eternity's sake and not for our own gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.